Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have breaking news out of Kansas City, where a news conference about the mass shooting during the Super Bowl parade just ended. The police chief sharing new information about those who were killed or injured and the motive.
Preliminary investigative findings have shown there was no nexus to terrorism or homegrown violent extremism. This appeared to be a dispute between several people that ended in gunfire.
And breaking news at NC State, the university has re-requested a federal health investigation into Poe Hall after outrage from a Five on Your Side report.
We also have breaking news on Creedmoor Road in Raleigh, where a morning crash is still causing problems at this noon hour. And good afternoon to you. Welcome inside our WRAL studio here. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. We have several significant updates from the Kansas City police chief right now. A news conference wrapped up about 15 minutes ago where we learned more about what investigators have uncovered so far in the parade shooting. Let's go straight to Michelle McConaughey in the WRAL Live Center. Michelle.
Yeah, that press conference just wrapped up about 10 minutes ago. We heard from the police chief, the fire chief, and Kansas City's mayor as well. Police chief Stacy Graves says that there are 23 victims, between 8 and 47 years old. She says half of those are under 16 years old. We know that one person did die, Elizabeth Galvin. She said that two subjects have been detained, two are juveniles. No charges have been filed yet, but they only have 24 hours to do that since they are juveniles, so we could expect that to happen sometime today. She also said the preliminary findings say that this was not an act of terrorism, which you just heard her say. She said this was just a dispute between multiple people that resulted in gunfire. She also said they did recover several firearms, but she did not specify what types of guns they were. We also heard from the fire chief, Ross Grundyson. He said they treated about 22 victims. 8 were critical and transported to hospitals, but he said everybody came together to help one another.
Some of those members were within 40 feet of where the shooting took place. These members did not run for cover, but stayed on scene to treat and triage the injured while additional KCFD units ran to their assistance.
We have subjects that are detained, like I said earlier. That is under investigation. We have detectives that have worked overnight and through the night that are still upstairs right now working with our Jackson County Prosecutor's Office for the furtherance of this investigation.
We have
all intentions of presenting charges.
Again, 2 of those subjects detained are juveniles. They have 24 hours to charge them. So we are expecting that could happen sometime later today. I'll keep you updated on any information we receive here in the Live Center.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Now, the person who tackled a man with a gun moments after that shooting says he didn't think, he just acted. Video from the scene shows police detaining that man after a bystander took him down. A bystander is Paul Contreras. He describes what happened.
He got close to me. I got the right angle on him, and I hit him from behind. And when I hit him from behind, I either jarred the gun out of his hand or out of his sleeve. Because as I'm taking him down to the ground, I see the gun on the ground.
Police have not confirmed the person in the video is one of the 3 people they've detained in connection with the shooting.
And that shooting at the Super Bowl parade in downtown Kansas City has people here in the Triangle thinking about how to respond if something similar were to happen here. WRAL spoke with a security expert who says you should remember 3 words: run, hide, fight. Run if you can. If you can't, look for a place to hide and get low to the ground. If you have no other options, fight. He also says to be aware of your surroundings so you may be able to stop a shooting before it happens.
You're a citizen, you know what normal looks like, and you see something that is abnormal, report it.
He also suggested making a plan with friends and family when attending a large event. That includes identifying a meeting place if something happens and you need to run.
We have more breaking news this noon, this time related to the contamination at NC State's Poe Hall. In the last hour, the CDC confirmed to WREL that NC State has re-requested now an independent federal health investigation of that building.
WREL's Five on Your Side has been following this story for weeks and heard from more than 120 people who've developed cancer while working there. Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur joins us now with this new development. Keely.
Renee and Jeff, this is a huge development and what so many viewers have asked for. Poe Hall, just for everyone's understanding, is the former education hall, home to many classes and many offices before it closed. Five on Your Side spoke to more than 100 people who worked or studied in Poe Hall and developed a serious illness, including cancer. So when we exposed last week that NC State was not participating in an independent, free human health investigation into Poe Hall, that decision raised a lot of questions among the NC State community. Instead, the university had hired their own consulting firm to investigate cancer-causing chemicals known as PCBs that were found in that building. Illnesses can't be linked to the chemicals found in Poe Hall at this point, but the community wanted that federal investigation to try and find any potential connections. Federal officials can only do that investigation if NC State requests and allows it to happen, which they had done, but later were no longer cooperating with. CDC and the State Health Department say that NC State has now re-requested that human health investigation, so that should be restarting, and we'll keep working to find out exactly when that will happen. And right before I broke the story, I called one of the workers who spent years in Poe Hall and was diagnosed with breast cancer. She said she is so happy this is happening. It was the first time I'd really heard any joy in her voice, Renee.
Keely, thank you. We'll wait to see what that investigation uncovers.
Continuing here in Raleigh with breaking news, there are still problems on Creedmoor Road after a crash there hours ago. WREL's Brian Schrader is here with a closer look, Brian.
Jeff, this is a crash we followed all morning long on WREL's Morning News. Creedmoor Road just north of 540 at North Falls Drive. We had a single vehicle crash this morning that damaged a utility pole. The DOT is saying that it has cleared. However, I'm not seeing any sensor data showing up in that area, so I think that it may still be closed. I want to show you some video Sky 5 shot this morning of the scene. Again, a single vehicle crash. The woman behind the wheel was injured. Apparently, that person is going to be okay, but it's taken Duke Energy crews a while to get all of this repaired. They have to put that utility pole back in place and get all of that electricity restored. There still is no timeline for that happening. So until we get the all clear, you need to consider using alternate routes. Maybe Six Forks Road is a good option for you. Also, just in, we are getting reports of a crash on the south side of Fayetteville, 95 southbound, right around the Claude Lee Road exit. We have two right lanes blocked. Big delays building right now on southbound 95 in Fayetteville. If you're trying to get into Hope Mills, use 301 as an alternate route.
Brian, thanks. Durham school employees are meeting with the school board today after several tumultuous weeks of protests and canceled school days. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains the work being done to try and find solutions to the pay dispute.
The Durham Association of Educators may be one step closer to getting what they want. They requested a meeting with the board about these ongoing pay issues, and that meeting will be happening today here at the Staff Development Center. There have been multiple protests and 4 days of no school for students this past month. Workers are trying to bring attention to these pay issues. Board Chair Bettina Umstead spoke at a news conference yesterday. She explained keeping the July through January raises is not financially sustainable. It's $9 million. Over budget. We also heard from Interim Superintendent Katty Moore. She says temporary pandemic relief funds are going away, and that impacts their bottom line.
There are a lot of places that we need support and help beyond just DPS and our local commissioners and our communities. There's a statewide obligation to fund staff in schools.
So many factors are playing into this, and today's meeting with the DAE is scheduled for 5:30. The board won't meet again about a long-term solution for this until next week. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Durham.
This week is North Carolina School Bus Driver Appreciation Week. Wake County Schools is showing their appreciation. Today, the school system hosted a breakfast for its bus drivers at East Cary Middle. More appreciation events are happening this week at other school campuses. Enid Horton has been driving Wake County school buses for 28 years. She says days like this remind her of why she does her job.
a lot of the times the bus drivers, you know, so much negativity come, but when we have people that back us, show us the appreciation and the love, it's all that matters.
Wake County Schools is now hiring more drivers. For more information on how to apply, you can go to the school system's website. A cold front arrives late tomorrow, just in time to bring rain for the start of our weekend. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at how quickly the rain will move through.
Here's a look at the big picture. Our cold front here is just crossing the Mississippi Valley, especially the northern end of it. There's very little rain associated with this. This high pressure system right now is moving away. It is helping to bring us some warmth out ahead of the front. Once the front moves through, it's not likely to bring us a lot of rain, but it will drop our temperatures a bit for the weekend. This is Futurecast. Starting on Friday, it looks like we're going to end up with some sunshine to start the day. We'll see increasing clouds throughout the evening, and it looks like most likely we'll have a quick band of showers from Roxbury over towards South Hill, just passing through our northern counties between, say, 9 and 11 o'clock Friday night. Then Saturday morning, we'll start things off at 5 a.m., and we have a fast band of showers that rolls through. It looks like it's out of here by about 7. So, again, about a two-hour window between 5 and 7 a.m., we see that band of showers move through. The time it may be sitting over you is probably only going to be 30 minutes or so, and then it's out of here, and we see clearing skies, and temperatures will start to fall. It'll be a bit cooler for us over the weekend. That chance of rain on Saturday, just 20%. And coming up, we'll talk more about some up and down temperatures in our 7-day forecast.
Early voting for the March 5th primary started this morning. It runs for 17 days, finishing up March 2nd, the Saturday before the election. On the ballot, you'll find choices for president, governor, and many other offices. WRL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at Chavis Park, one of 13 early voting locations in Wake County. Laura?
Jeff, you know, it's off to kind of a slow start this morning. I'm going to let photojournalist Josie Zimmer show you there's really more poll volunteers out here for candidates than there are actual voters at the moment. But there have been some changes to voting laws that you'll need to know about before you cast your vote this year. First, you want to make sure you have your driver's license or other approved form of photo ID. If you don't have one, you can still vote, but it'll be a provisional ballot and it may not be counted. Now, if you're voting absentee by mail, as a lot of people do, you'll also now have to include a photocopy of your photo ID with that ballot or attest to why you don't have one. You'll also probably see more partisan poll watchers this year in the voting areas. They're now allowed to move around more than they used to be. They are not election workers, and they should be wearing a badge that identifies them as an observer. State Elections Director Karen Brinson Bell says they're not allowed to see how you vote or photograph or record you, although they can listen in when you're checking in to vote.
If voters have any concerns at their early voting site, they should reach out to a poll worker. Voters may also contact their county boards of elections or the state board of elections to report any voting issues.
Now, you can take your phone with you, and you can use it to look things up. You cannot take a photo of your ballot. Hear me when I say that. You cannot take a photo of your ballot or phone a friend for help. And you can't take photos of other people voting without the permission of the chief judge at the polling place either. And North Carolina has what's called a semi-closed primary, meaning that if you're a registered Republican, Democrat, or Libertarian, you can only vote in your party's primary. But if you're an unaffiliated voter, as most people actually are, you can choose one of the three primaries that you want to participate in. While the presidential race may be pretty much settled, at least on the Democrat side, there are a lot of statewide and other races. You can see these signs and both with primaries in both parties. So you can look up your sample ballot ahead of time at WRAL.com or at the State Board of Elections website.
Laura, thanks for breaking it down for us. Laura Leslie live at Chavis Park in Raleigh. Thank you. Next at noon, police in California respond to a chilling school shooting plot. Find out who investigators are thanking today for helping them prevent a tragedy.
Also, what is Alaska pox? We'll take a closer look at the symptoms after the first reported death from this unusual virus.
Plus, it's not a pox, but it's certainly a plague. Why locust swarms could be a serious threat to the world's food supply in the near future.
Following some breaking news right now out of California, several Los Angeles City firefighters were hurt after an explosion. This is the fire chief here, the captain, giving an update. This is live. At least two people are in critical condition right now. They say the firefighters were responding to a semi-truck with pressurized cylinders on fire when that explosion happened. The department says about seven firefighters were hurt. Three have already been taken to the hospital. The explosion happened in an industrial part of Wilmington, which is near the port of Los Angeles, just west of Long Beach. They say they're trying to figure out how this happened, why this happened. They are combing through debris right now.
Michelle, thanks. A Southern California high school student was arrested after police determined he was plotting a school shooting. On Saturday, 18-year-old Sebastian Villaseñor was arrested for viable threats made last Thursday. According to police, after an investigation, several weapons were recovered from the teen's home, as well as more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Police say Villaseñor had five intended victims. Police say they say another student was the one who tipped officers off.
We're grateful to a student who was brave enough to say something when they saw something that was off.
The 18-year-old has been charged with one count of attempted criminal threats and five counts of attempted murder. Police say there is no remaining threat to students on campus.
Alaska health officials have reported the first known death linked to a recently discovered virus called Alaskapox. The virus can cause skin lesions that look like a spider bite at first. There can also be swollen lymph nodes, muscle pain, and fever. It's found in small mammals in Alaska. Seven Alaskapox infections in humans have been reported since its discovery in 2015. The most recent case was an elderly man who died last month. The man had a weakened immune system because of cancer treatment. Experts say the illness is often mild and infections are rare in people. Researchers still don't know how it spreads from animals to people. Extreme wind and rain may lead to bigger and worse desert locust outbreaks. The study says human-caused climate change is likely to intensify the weather patterns and cause higher outbreak risks. The desert locust of northern and eastern Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia is a migratory insect that travels in swarms of millions over long distances. It damages crops, causing famine and food insecurity. A swarm of less than 1 square mile can contain 80 million locusts. They can eat enough food crops in a single day to feed 35,000 people. The UN describes it as the most destructive migratory pest in the world.
Sort of makes our pollen going up look a little bit like we can deal
with
that.
Like manageable, right? Goodness. Like no complaints here after
that's
that.
Awful right now. Elizabeth Gardner's over in the WRS Severe Weather Center. We had a nice little warm-up here from this morning.
We did. It feels nice out there right now. We're going to take a look at the temperatures and just enjoy a beautiful afternoon. This afternoon, looking at breezy but mild temperatures in the mid-60s. By late Friday into early Saturday, as we talked about earlier in the newscast, we're going to see a cold front come through with minimal amounts of rain. I'll show you how much coming up. And then over the weekend, we may be back to some sweaters, but it's still going to be nice to get outside. I love this guy. He's happy to be outside, even in his sweater. Our highs will be in the mid-50s. Right now, we do have some sunshine mixed with cloud cover. This is a live look at downtown Durham, and you can see a little blue sky, a little bit of gray there. We'll see that mix of sun and clouds for the remainder of the afternoon. We've already hit 61 on our way to around 66 or so in the triangle. Our dew point's 35, so it is nice and dry out there right now. Check-in temperature is 63 in Southern Pines, 64 in Fayetteville, 63 Clinton. Still some 50s out there. It's just 51. One in Rocky Mount, 53 in South Hill, and 54 currently in Roxboro. Winds are just starting to pick up a little bit in our southern counties. It's coming out of the south at 10 in Fayetteville, gusting to 19. We'll likely see gusts at about 20 to 25 that will pick up over the next few hours. But it's steady winds at about 5 to 10. We'll likely start to see those steady winds at about 10 to 15 in the next hour or two, gusting up to around 25 miles per hour. And, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable when it's windy out, but these winds will be coming out of the south-southwest, and that will help to keep the warmth coming. So 66 in Raleigh, 65 in Durham, and 68 in Fayetteville for this afternoon under mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. Jeff mentioned pollen. We talked about that a little bit this morning. The pollen count has started to creep up a little bit. It's moderate for trees. That's nothing to get too worried about, but you know what's coming. The pollen season will be here before you know it, and we'll see everything covered in yellow. People will have itchy itchy eyes and runny noses. We do this every year, unfortunately. Typically toward the end of February, we begin to see a few pollen counts showing up. So that's really what we're seeing right now. It tends to be the worst between the middle of March and the middle of April. And then it tapers off pretty quickly. We have a grass season behind it. So we have several months that we have to deal with it, but we tend to see the messy yellow tree pollen for about a month, mid-March to around mid-April. And we all know that is not any fun at all. We take a look at our cold front that is crossing the Mississippi Valley right now. You can see there's really no rain associated with it except way up to the north where the low is. Behind it, we will see some cooler temperatures. 56 is our normal high, 66 for today. We're back to 55 on Saturday and 54 on Sunday. Well, that doesn't mean that you have to necessarily stay in. If you're headed out to the Cupid's Run on Saturday, temperatures will be great for running, actually, looking at 50 degrees at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Partly cloudy, breezy, and cool. Great for getting out and about and going for a run. Sunday looking at 54 for President's Day. We start to warm things up. We'll see some sunshine on Monday and back into the mid-60s by Wednesday. We're going to talk a little bit more, in case you missed it, about our chance for rain late Friday into Saturday. I'll show you how much we could see adding up in the rain gauges coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. North Carolina weather is unpredictable, but when wet weather strikes, you don't have to be left with a big bill. Coming up on Five on Your Side, sharing the products any homeowner can buy to prevent water damage.
And forever chemicals in your drinking water, a special WRL investigation tested for over 50 different potentially hazardous chemicals in local homes, where we found the highest levels tonight at 6. It's a popular way to purchase big ticket items, but a new study reveals a lot of Americans are not doing their credit card rating any favors by using them.
Also ahead, another big name performer is coming to PNC Arena in Raleigh. When J-Lo fans can buy their tickets. Wendy's is rolling out a new cinnamon breakfast item.
And Delta employees just received a big boost. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Delta has paid out $1.4 billion in profit-sharing payments to its workers. That's more than double what the airline paid employees last year. Delta workers received the payouts yesterday. The payments equaled about 10% of an employee's annual salary. More than 100,000 airline employees below mid-level managers participate in the profit-sharing program. Americans with low credit scores are more frequently turning to buy now, pay later plans. That's according to research from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It found financially fragile consumers are more than three times as likely to use pay over time plans than other shoppers. Financially fragile is defined as someone who has been delinquent on a loan or declined a credit application within the last year or has a credit score below 620. The New York Fed says many of those consumers are using buy now, pay later at least five times a year to make a purchase. Wendy's is teaming up with a Cinnabon on a new breakfast offering. The fast food chain will add a cinnamon baked good to the menu beginning February 26. It's called the Cinnabon Pull Apart. It's sweetened dough dunked in a glaze and baked with cinnamon and brown sugar, then topped with a cream cheese frosting. The addition comes as Wendy's gets set to mark its fourth year selling breakfast. The chain jumped in the breakfast battle in March of 2020 with a $20 million investment. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Pop star Jennifer Lopez is coming to Raleigh this summer.
J-Lo's This Is Me Now, the tour, will come to PNC Arena Saturday, August 24th. It's part of a 30-city tour. That's her first tour since 2019. Tickets go on sale February 23rd at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster. Her new album, her ninth, drops tomorrow.
JT coming to Raleigh in the summer, John Legend coming to Cary, and now J-Lo.
Hits.
Hot summer. A chaotic scene after a chase ended in a crash in Raleigh.
Coming up, the shocking age also of the driver who led troopers on that high-speed chase across four counties.
Also ahead, the technology that's helping those who died of gun violence deliver a stern message to lawmakers.
Also, here are your winning NC Education Lottery numbers.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we want to get back to that breaking news out of Kansas City. About 45 minutes ago, we heard from the police chief, the fire chief, and the mayor of Kansas City regarding this active investigation. And Police Chief Stacey Graves says this was not an act of terrorism. She says this was just a dispute between several people that resulted in gunfire. She says they do have three subjects detained right now. Two of them are juveniles. No charges have been filed yet. They only have 24 hours to do so because they are juvenile. So that could happen sometime today. There were 23 victims. We know one person died. Elizabeth Galvin died. She says of those victims, half of them are under 16 years old. But you have to remember, there were so many people at this celebration here. She says about a million people.
We had likely 1 million people down in and around this celebration. To have the ability to have that many people in our downtown area with I don't want to minimize this event, but that's Kansas City. That is a million people that are able to come together for a celebration. Again, you have just a handful, I don't have a specific number of actors in this that perpetrated the violence that played out.
And she also said they have recovered several firearms, but she did not specify what type of firearms those were. Again, no charges yet. That could happen sometime today.
Michelle, thanks for the update. There is a new plea from the family of Alicia Watts today.
WRL News Plus anchor Megan Glova is here now with their message to the district attorney overseeing the case. Megan.
Jeff, Renee, in just the past 90 minutes, her family gave what they called justice for Alicia Watts letters to Montgomery County's district attorney. You may recall Watts was found dead in a rural area of Montgomery County last August. That was about 1 month after being reported missing. At the time, she was going to visit her boyfriend, James Dunmore, in Charlotte. Fast forward to when investigators found Watts' body, Dunmore was charged with murder that same day. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan spoke with Watts' mother, Evex Franklin, last week, and she said she's frustrated with the pace of the investigation. Last month, a Montgomery County judge ordered the state to expedite giving evidence to the defense, ordering them to share materials within 45 days and calling the wait negligent or intentional. The defense even requested Dunmore's $1 million bond be reconsidered if that evidence isn't brought forward soon. The family is also still waiting to find out how Watts died, as they have no autopsy yet. As for Dunmore, he's due back in court next month.
All right, Megan Glova, thanks for that update. We're working to learn more about a stabbing outside a Raleigh Walmart. This was the scene outside the store on Newbern Avenue. Raleigh police responded just after 9 last night for a report of a stabbing. Police were also called to Wedgwood Drive, about 2 miles away from that Walmart. That's where they found a man with a stab wound. He was taken to the hospital and is expected to recover. Police have not said what led to the stabbing or if they've made any arrests.
A 13-year-old boy is accused of leading authorities on a high-speed chase through several counties. It ended with a crash in Raleigh. Sky 5 was over the aftermath Wednesday afternoon. Detectives say this all started when someone called reporting a person with a ski mask who had stolen a car. They then led troopers on a chase through Bladen, Cumberland, Johnston, and into Wake County. And authorities say at one point the teenager was driving 100 miles an hour. A 13-year-old was taken to the hospital but is not believed to have been injured. Once released, he is expected to be charged. Police are investigating a stabbing outside a Raleigh Walmart. This was the scene outside the store on Newbern Avenue. Raleigh police responded just after 9 last night to the report of a stabbing. Police were also called to Wedgwood Drive, about 2 miles away from the Walmart, and that's where they found a man who had been stabbed. He was taken to the hospital and is expected to recover. Police did not say what led up to that stabbing or if they have made any arrests. A man is fighting for his life after being shot in the head at a convenience store in Fayetteville. The shooting happened at the Time Saver store on Murchison Road just before 7 last night. Police say they found that person when they arrived. He was rushed to a hospital. We are reaching out to investigators to learn more about what led up to the shooting.
Today, city leaders in Fayetteville will look at ways to address homelessness and mental health. The City Council on Homelessness and the Mental Health Committee will meet at 2 p.m. The meeting comes over a month after city leaders faced backlash over busing several homeless people to Durham during a cold snap. Some complained they didn't know the trip was one way and they would be required to stay at the mission for an extended period.
An 18-year-old is in custody after a body was found near a store in Myrtle Beach. Everett Ellis from Wilson is charged with murder this morning. Myrtle Beach police have not identified the victim or said how he was killed. We're working to learn how police connected Ellis to that crime. State Attorney General is appealing a decision made by the State Utilities Commission to let Duke Energy charge more for people's power bills. Josh Stein says costs would rise by $20 a month for many North Carolinians and says there's no legitimate reason for the increase. Duke Energy says it needs the higher rates. A company spokesman says as North Carolina continues to grow, it needs to keep investing in the state's power grid. Otherwise, service might become less reliable. For more details on this story, you can go to WRL.com.
Our county by county coverage takes us to Lee, Johnston, and Orange counties. We'll start in Lee County, where state leaders are meeting right now in Sanford to learn where the state stands on reaching its education goals. A statewide commission called My Future NC has the goal of ensuring 2 million North Carolinians have a post-secondary or high-quality credential by 2030. The meeting at Central Carolina Community College goes until 2:30 p.m. A review committee is meeting today to develop policies for the Johnston County Board of Education. The open session starts at 2 p.m. in Smithfield in the Simpson Building on U.S. 70 Business Highway East. The town of Chapel Hill is looking for your help designing a new inclusive playground. The town is planning to put the playground in at Chapel Hill Community Center Park. This is a conceptual image of what it may look like. It aims to create a space where kids of all abilities can play together. The town is hosting a forum tonight at the Chapel Hill Community Center to get thoughts from the community. It's happening from 6 to 8 tonight. There is also an online survey available on the town's Parks and Recs Department's website. Victims of gun violence are demanding action from lawmakers.
And they're actually speaking from beyond the grave.
6 years ago, I was a senior at Parkland. Many students and teachers were murdered on Valentine's Day that year by a person using an AR-15.
And coming up, we will explain how cutting-edge technology is making this new campaign possible. Also later, why is there a generic drug shortage? We'll tell you who is trying to get some answers to that question. An update to a story we reported earlier, a man who was shot in the head at a convenience store in Fayetteville. We have now learned that man shot his 36-year-old Dante Lucas, and he has died. The shooting happened at the Time Saver store on Murkison Road just before 7 last night. So far, no word on arrests. Artificial intelligence is restoring the voices of people lost to gun violence, and their new messages are being used to target politicians who critics say oppose tougher gun laws.
Ted Lindner takes a look at the technology families of the victims hope will save lives.
Haunting but powerful. Artificial intelligence is recreating the many voices of those killed by gun violence in an effort to help prevent more lives from being taken.
Because our stories need to be heard, and who better to tell them than us?
Voices like that of Joaquin Oliver, who was one of the 17 people murdered 6 years ago at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida.
Hello, I'm Joaquin Oliver. 6 years ago, I was a senior at Parkland. Many students and teachers were murdered on Valentine's Day that year by a person using an AR-15. But you don't care. You never did.
Joaquin's parents are now using the AI messages to robocall lawmakers nationwide, who they say support the National Rifle Association and oppose tougher gun laws.
The same stats and nothing changes.
They hope the new campaign will put more pressure on Congress to ban AR-15 style semi-automatic rifles like the one used to kill their son.
We have nothing to lose here, okay? I mean, we already lost everything.
But the Olivers aren't alone. Other families, including that of one of the four people killed at a Tennessee Waffle House in 2018, and that of one of the 21 people slain at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, are also robocalling politicians with the AI voices of their loved ones.
It's been 6 years and you've done nothing, not a thing to stop all the shootings that have continued to happen since.
Because the campaign is being run indefinitely through the ShotLine website, Even more families of gun violence victims will be able to add the recreated voices of their relatives going forward.
That was Ted Lindner reporting. A shortage of generic drugs. Coming up, how two federal agencies are looking into supply issues for many prescriptions.
Also, a new study reinforces the idea that exercise can help battle depression. But there's a challenge here that the researchers say they recognize. We'll explain.
If your pharmacy is out of your generic drug, you might not be alone. Now federal regulators are looking into what's behind the shortages. The Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Health and Human Services are launching an inquiry. Health and Human Services says it plans to look at drug purchasing and wholesale companies to see if they're disrupting the supply chain. They want to hear from the public and have issued a request for information. The agencies are already teaming up with the Justice Department to see how corporate control of healthcare affects patients.
When a wave of depression hits, a new study suggests physical activity may help significantly. The researchers say many types of exercise like walking, jogging, yoga, and strength training can be just as beneficial as therapy when it comes to treating depression. The lead study author says they analyzed data from 218 studies with more than 14,000 people. Of course, motivation is a common struggle and depression can add to the challenge, but the study author says it is important to make an exercise plan and stick to it as if your mental health depends on it. So it'd be a nice day to get outside, maybe get a little exercise.
Oh, sure. Seeing the sunshine and being out in it can help boost your mental health. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with some pretty views.
And it really, there's something about this time of year, you know, when it's been cold and it's been gray and all of a sudden we start to warm up and we're seeing daffodils, you know, popping out and cherry trees blooming. It's just, it really does help to lift your spirits. We have a pretty blue sky here in Goldsboro, but you can see the camera shaking a little bit. It's going to be a bit breezy through the afternoon. We take a live look at Apex where we're looking at a good bit of sunshine. Same thing here in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant in Fayetteville there at our newsroom. There's been some high thin cloud cover out there this afternoon, but plenty of sunshine to soak in as well. This is a look at our current wind speeds. We're not looking at any gusts currently. The gusts are in the box on the right side, but we are looking at steady winds right now, anywhere from about 6 to 11 miles per hour. And those winds will likely continue to pick up over the next few hours, but they do begin to taper off a little bit once we get past sunset. We could see some gusts up to about 25 miles per hour, and that is helping to warm up our temperatures for today, looking at highs in the mid-60s. Now, our cold front comes through early Saturday morning, so highs on Saturday will be 55. Our holiday weekend, Saturday and Sunday, will both be cool in the mid-50s, but by Monday, we reverse the pattern and start to see the temperatures climbing to around 61. The cold front that will come through to bring us the cool temperatures this weekend is going to move in and out very quickly. We'll look at some light rain, mainly in our northern counties. We take a look at the front itself right now, and it's moving in our direction. It's going to take its time getting here, but we'll likely start to see the clouds thickening up. This is Friday at 5 o'clock. By the time we get to dinner time on Friday, it'll be mostly cloudy. Around 9 or 10, we see a small wave of rain that moves across the area from about 10 to around 11:30. It's going to be, say, Roxboro up through Mecklenburg County, Virginia, and that's about it. It shouldn't really affect anyone else. And then we have another small band that comes along with the front early on Saturday morning. At about 4 a.m., it's starting to move into the viewing area right through the triangle at 6 a.m. and then it's out of the viewing area completely by about 7 or 7:30. So that's going to move through very quickly. Once it's out of here, our skies begin to clear, but our wind will shift to northerly. You can almost watch those clouds moving down from the north, and that's going to be the chilly air headed our way. On Saturday, it's just a 20% chance for rain, and that is the only rain that we have in the forecast besides Friday night into Saturday. And there's just not much of it. It's likely to be less than a tenth of an inch. We are looking at the potential for some snow in the mountains with this system, especially up into Virginia and West Virginia. The mountains of North Carolina may see a few inches, and it may be a great weekend to head out to the slopes. Saturday, the highs will be in the low to mid 30s, which will be nice. We'll see some sunshine and looking at 30s and 40s on Sunday in the northern mountains where the ski slopes are. So looking good there. For us, it's feeling spring-like today. A little cooler Friday with some more clouds. But once we get to President's Day, we start that warm-up again. Highs will be in the mid-60s for Tuesday and Wednesday under sunny skies. Some pretty weather in this forecast.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Scientists have made an interesting discovery about the behavior of gorillas, chimps, and orangutans.
Coming up, the playful behavior they exhibit that closely resembles what human children often do.
And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. 1, 4, 45, 47, 67. Powerball is 18. The multiplier is 2.
Welcome back. Lots of sunshine in Cary. Sure looks beautiful there in Fenton, where they've replaced the ice skating rink with the green turf. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
Charges are expected later today in the Kansas City parade shooting. At an 11:30 news conference, the police chief said investigators have determined the shooting stemmed from an argument. It was not terrorism related. Chief Stacey Graves says three people are in custody. Two of them are under 18. Officers have recovered several weapons from the area. The chief did not say how many or what type. 22 people were injured in yesterday's shooting. One person died.
The CDC reports NC State has requested an independent federal health investigation into the contamination at Poe Hall. Five Under Side has been on top of this story for weeks. NC State initially asked the CDC to do this evaluation, but the investigation stopped in January. Federal officials can only do an investigation if the university lets it happen. The state health department also confirms the investigation will restart.
Durham school employees will meet with the school board today after weeks of protests and canceled school days. Both sides will meet at the Staff Development Center discussing solutions to the ongoing pay dispute. Today's meeting is scheduled for 5:30. The board is set to make a final decision on a long-term solution next week.
Scientists say gorillas, chimpanzees, and orangutans like to tease each other the same way children do. Researchers found those great ape species can hit, poke, or pull each other's hair in a playful manner, and they can even look for a response afterwards. All four great ape species, which includes humans, show playful teasing in their mannerisms.
To me, it was really interesting that they not just did the action, you know, the teasing, but they really looked for the reactions. They looked towards the target's face. And that was something that was, to me, very fascinating, and also the type of intentionality that they showed.
Gorillas, orangutans, chimpanzees, bonobos, and humans all belong to the same family of primates. So researchers say it makes sense that our distant cousins would share such similar behaviors.
And it is time to celebrate the mighty hippopotamus. Today is World Hippo Day. The day brings awareness to these vulnerable giants, which are the third largest land mammal in the world. Male hippos can weigh more than 9,000 pounds. In 2006, the International Union for Conservation of Nature listed them as vulnerable. Hippo numbers have been declining due to poaching and the loss of habitat. Hippos primarily live in and near rivers, lakes, and swamps in sub-Saharan Africa. They don't actually swim. They walk or run along the riverbed. They can hold their breath underwater for 5 minutes. Hippos actually secrete their very own sunscreen as well. Their bodies produce an oily reddish slime that protects them from ultraviolet rays and bacteria.
Time for our pet of the day. Here is Mushka. Mushka is a neutered male 8-year-old long-haired cat. He's an independent cat who likes to create his own adventures, but he still loves attention and will usually come up to you to ask for love when he's ready. He's also very playful and still has a lot of kitten in him. Mushka has lived with other cats before and probably wouldn't mind other kitties in the house. He'd love to have his fur brushed to keep him looking fine and fabulous. Almost looks like he has a mustache and a beard. Mushka's adoption fee is $45, which includes his neuter, microchip, vaccines, and more. For more information about Mushka, you can visit spcawake.org.
That's what he feels like when you squeeze him. Mushka.
That's right. When wet weather strikes, you don't have to be left with a big bill. Coming up on WRL News at 4, Five on Your Side shares the products any homeowner can buy to prevent water damage. Oh, just gorgeous outside.
No
there.
Water
Can't
out
wait to
there
get
today.
Out.
No, it's good.
Yeah, water coming maybe for the weekend.
Saturday.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Thanks for spending some time with us. You can get breaking news updates anytime with the WREL News app. Have a good one.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.